Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and with me today we have Tyler Heritage. Tyler, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the offer to do this. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. So, Tyler, we should start off. Tell us your age and your schooling, what you're doing for school.
Yeah, so I'm 18. I just graduated high school last week, actually. We had our graduation ceremony.
Nice.
I'm going to college. I'm staying local. I'm going to a college. It's called Rowan University, and I'll be studying chemical engineering there. Yeah, so that's just some general background about who I am, other than, you know, outside of archery.
You're 18, you said?
Yes, sir. Yep.
18. Okay. So, and you live in New Jersey, I believe?
Yeah, New Jersey. Salem County, New Jersey. Exact.
All right. So there's a couple things I want to talk to you about here today, Tyler. But first off, let's start with the, well, actually, there's a couple very recent accomplishments. Let's start off with, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, you shot a personal best in a 72-arrow 50-meter round. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I shot my personal best for, like, a competition, of course. I've shot good scores in practice, but to put it, you know, to actually do it in a tournament was insane. So, yeah, I shot my personal best. It was a 7.06 at 50 meters, and it was the double round, so your standard feed around 72 arrows. So, 7.06.
7.06. That's incredible. Now, and as I'm sure you know, at most of the USAT events, that would qualify you in what's basically the equivalent of men's pro, you know, the one Steve Anderson, you know, all those guys that they're shooting in. 7.06, you'd qualify for the head-to-head matches with a 7.06.
Yeah, I was very pleased. That's my end goal. I would like to shoot in the senior division. After I age out of the junior division, I'd like to go shoot with them. So just to, you know, put it to paper, really, it was really cool.
I saw a photo of your target. You had no eights, none that I could see anyway.
Yeah, no, that was the first one of my first rounds going without any eights, so that was pretty cool as well.
Nice. So, what was working for you that day? Did you know right off, or was it something that like built through the round? Tell me about how the round went.
Yeah. So my first half, So we had three practice rounds to warm up. I shot a 56 my first end, just getting sighted in. I really didn't think I was going to shoot, you know, the score I did. But scoring started, and I was just laying down 60s. So I just kept going with it. The wind got progressively worse towards the end of the round. Thankfully, like, in the beginning, there was, like, absolutely no wind. But as the wind picked up towards the end, it was about, like, I'd say four ends in and started picking up. But it really wasn't that bad, so I shouldn't even, you know, complain about it. But, no, I think everything, like, all the elements worked in my favor that day. I've been practicing quite a bit. So just, you know, to see the result there, it was really cool.
That was, and of course, this year, Tyler, you won junior male compound in Nîmes. That was your biggest win so far?
Yes, that's my biggest win.
And just missed the 900 at Vegas.
Yeah, it was, I forget when I dropped it. It was the last day. It was so cool, you know, standing up there with all the pros I've been looking up to for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. It was just so surreal, you know, just standing right next to them shooting my bow at the same level that they're at. And I definitely learned a lot. I like to say, you know, from working with Brian at the academy, because I'm a part of the Lancaster Joe Ed team, we've over the years talked about subjects like it's all right to fail. Like, it's like a learning moment. Every time you fail, it's a learning moment, I like to see it as. So I didn't really see it as, yeah, it was failure. You know, I missed the, ton, but, I'm using it as a momentum, for next year. So
did you, so when you dropped that nine in Vegas, it was the last day. So obviously you knew that 900 was out there. Do you remember what happened? Like what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So going through my head, it was just a rush shot. Like you said, I was thinking about that 900, the pressure got to me. I would definitely say the pressure got to me. But yeah, I wasn't really thinking, I guess is the best way to put it. I was so distracted by that 900 belt buckle, you know, the one that Hoyt gives out every year.
Yes.
You know, the people that, you know, the men and women that shoot the 900. I just got, you know, so consumed with it at that moment and I let one go. I mean, it was just out too. So
no kidding. When it hit, did you know it right away?
No. Let me see if I can remember this. I think I did. Yeah, I was disappointed, but, from watching like Jesse shoot, you know, no matter like what happens, like whether he misses the target or, you know, hits an X, it's the same, you know, face.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't let show emotion. So, you know, I probably showed a little more emotion than he did. Like, you know, I probably, you know, had a, you know, frown for a few seconds till I finished shooting. I mean, the round went great. I shot a 26X, 299. It was still great, but, yeah, but I tried to, you know, keep my composure. Cause like I said, you know, it's just learning experiences.
Yeah. And now, a couple weeks ago, before you shot this 50-meter round, you went to your first ASA.
Yeah, so it was like a last-second decision to go. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I only shoot, you know, FITA and indoor. So for me to go out in the woods and attempt this, you know, I took my X10s because I really didn't have any other arrows to use.
Nice.
So, I mean, I shot, you know, I was happy with my score. I got to shoot with, it was actually really cool. I got to shoot with Jesse the first day. So, you know, just, I didn't really pick his brain, but, you know, when we were just talking, you know, behind the stake, when other people were shooting, I got so much knowledge from him, you know, just tips, what he would do if he was me, like, for a different, like, you know, configuring my setup, aiming at certain parts of the targets when you can't see the rings, you know, there's a lot of good things that came out of that.
Now, you know, Jesse Broadwater, he likes to lie to young archers like you to throw you off because he doesn't want you coming up and catching him.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he did that.
Just kidding, Jesse. Just Josh, and we know you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. He would never do that.
But yeah, but let's talk about that. This was at the London, Kentucky ASA. So you mentioned as you shot X10s, obviously you're shooting with Jesse, so you went straight to the known pro division. Tell me about how, from your experience, from what you're used to shooting, why that was so different and how it was different.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So typically when I'm aiming at like a multicolored FITA target, I'd say I'm not focused on aiming, and what that means is I'm like staring right at the X, and I kind of, there's tons of movement in my scope, I mean, in my sight picture. I'm not like trying to hold that aiming reticle right on the center of the target, because it's, I found, you know, that was, I got the best results from just, you know, relaxed shots, aiming right where I wanted to hit, and, you know, 99% of the time, it was going wherever I was looking at. But, you know, when you can't see the rings, you have to find, like, you have to hold the pin there. And it was just different because I couldn't, I shouldn't say that my shots were not as, like, crisp, but, yeah, they just weren't as, like, they weren't flowing. The results showed. So I just had to figure out how to like aim better. Cause you know, I don't aim
right.
I don't know how to put it. So.
Well, it's like you're saying you're staring at the X in the middle of that gold, But on a Black Panther in the dark forest, you don't know where that ring is.
Yeah, I had honestly no idea. There's a jaguar, I want to say it was. I was the first one to shoot from, you know, the luck of the draw, you know. So thankfully I hit a 10, but, you know, it was a shot in the dark. But you know, you're standing so far out in the sun and the targets are, I mean, you know how the known pro range is. There's, you know, they're all at the max distance, just about, you know, within 5 yards, you know, for 90% of the targets. But yeah, I just got to work through it. I'm going to try tweaking my setup a little bit. I'm going to go with a lower power lens because so I can see more of the body.
What power were you using?
I was using a 6-power lens.
Okay, yeah.
It's just what I had.
Sure.
So I'm using the Ultraview 2 scope housing. I absolutely love it. But I had the fiber, you know how you can wrap it on the end?
Yep.
I just had too much fiber and it's collecting too much light. I would rather be able to control it with the sight light instead. So it's a little dimmer. So I made that adjustment. I'm actually using a center drill lens and I just have it just free floating on the lens.
Gotcha. That way.
So, and then I just, you know, turn the knob to whatever setting I need it to be.
Yeah. So that's an interesting point because a lot of people would think, oh man, I want that pin to be as bright as I can get it. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it is too bright and you need to dim it.
Yep. And yeah, it drowns out the target. You know, you can't see anything. So yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. So with that experience in ASA and mainly your experience is with indoor and 50 meter stuff, what do you think? Do you think you'll be working the 3D into your schedule going forward, or do you see yourself more as a kind of USAT guy?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I guess my first point would be that the atmosphere of the ASA is totally different. Everyone there wanted to help. You know, I had a little equipment issue right before I went out on the range, and everyone was willing to help me. You know, I had to change my sight because something broke. Totally worked out fine, but you know, they're there willing to help me. You know, I had 45 minutes till I had to go out on the range, so we got it fixed in like 15 minutes. You know, if it wasn't for them, you know, I really wouldn't have been able to shoot. But no, the atmosphere, the people, you know, I really enjoyed that because I'm not saying that you don't get that at the USAPs, but you know, all the vendors, like the vendor area, I just really enjoyed that. Just hanging out with people that, you know, like the same, you know, like archery just as much as me. So,
yeah,
I guess at the USAPs, like there's not like a common area for, you know, everyone just to hang out, you know,
right,
eat some lunch, which, you know, I don't want to talk bad about USAPs because I shot them for years and absolutely love them. But, yeah, I just wish it was more like that.
You're right. I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. At the USATs, there's the competition field, and kind of that's it.
Yeah.
But so, at the ASAs, you got the vendor. There's always a central area where, like you said, people hang out, eat, whatever. Yeah, that's I never put that together, but yeah, that's a good observation. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No.
Oh no, I'll let you. Okay. So yeah, and then I also liked, you know, how the top five guys, you know, they went out and shot off, you know, was it 5 more targets?
Yes.
And then the 6th one if they're within like 10 points, I believe. So yeah, I really enjoyed that because I wish, you know, I don't know how to put this. I just like how televised, you know, ASA is, and if, you know, as an archer, that's where I want to be. I want to be up on, you know, shooting off for first place.
Yeah.
You know, with everyone watching, you know, that's what I live for. So I definitely see myself doing more 3D. I don't know if I could completely give up USA archery. I mean, I don't think I would if I, you know, shot more 3D, but it's definitely something I'm going to look into.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, we wouldn't. We somebody with your potential, we certainly wouldn't want to see you give up USAT. We need to keep good archers in there. But yeah, at Nîmes, that was kind of what you had to do, correct? You had a there was a shoot off for the gold medal where, at least there, everybody was watching. Wasn't that right?
So the year before, I actually had the opportunity to shoot in a gold medal match as well. You know, unfortunately, I took second place, but I mean, it was to one of my best friends, Carson Sapp. But, you know, like I said, you know, everything's a learning experience in life. So it just, you know, fueled the fire for the next time. So, you know, I was already up on the gold medal match, so I knew what to expect. I mean, my shots were just, you know, flowing, but, after I did so well in qualification, I mean, the momentum just kept growing and it carried on to the gold medal match, fortunately. Nice. So,
well, let's talk about, Tyler, how archery fits into your life. Obviously, you're shooting at a very high level at a very young age. How old were you when you first started shooting?
Yeah, so I actually got my first bow for Christmas when I was 10. I wanted to start hunting. The year before, I went out with my dad for the first time, and I fell in love. You know, just seeing, you know, having the experience of going out there with him. So I figured that. So in New Jersey, we have three different tests: a muzzleloader, rifle test, shotgun test, and archery test. And I just wanted to get them all done. So I had the certification to go out hunting. And then, you know, archery extends the deer season, you know, a few months in New Jersey. So so that was like really why I got a compound bow. And then I just realized that I love shooting so much that maybe I'm going to see if there's like a league somewhere close. So they're actually one of my local archery clubs down there. I don't know if you ever heard of them, Obiskazoi Bowman. In Alloway, New Jersey.
Obiskazoi Bowman.
Yeah.
No, so they, I had never heard of
that. Oh, no? Okay. Yeah, it's a really nice club. It's like 17 minutes from my house. But yeah, so they had a youth league, and it was like a two-person teams. And, you know, the highest score at the end of the 10 weeks would win, you know, first place. And after that, I mean, I did that for 3 years. I actually played basketball and travel baseball over the 3 years. So it wasn't serious archery. It was just, you know, a thing I did for fun when we didn't have a basketball game.
Gotcha.
That Saturday. It was either Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember. But, yeah, it's just something I did for fun. And then I realized I liked it better than, you know, basketball and baseball. And I decided to get really serious. I went up to Lancaster for a lesson with Heather. And then I started with the Thursday night Joad. That was about a year. And then I was on the team the next December, I believe.
And so is that also when you're age 10 or you're 11 or 12 now?
Yeah, I was 11 or 12. I really can't remember exactly when on that timeline. But yeah, I started, you know, doing the Joad.
So that's a hike for you from New Jersey over to Lancaster. That's got to be at least an hour.
Yeah, it's an hour and 15. But, you know, for the resources that I was getting, it was worth it. So.
And so you, I guess, was it a case of the more you shot, the more you liked it?
Yep, exactly that. I really fell in love with outdoor at first. And then, yeah, it was just like, you know, shooting 30 meters. I was really good at it. It was like my favorite thing. So it just, you know, fueled the fire. I got all my pins that first year. I got all the way up to my gold. And then it just carried over to next indoor season, next outdoor season. And it just grew and grew. So
when did you shoot your first USAT event, indoor or outdoor?
Indoor or outdoor. Okay. So I believe it would be my first year as a cadet, so about 3.5 years now.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah. And fortunately, I did really well. I remember Eli, I don't know if you know Eli Hughes. He got first, and then Ethan Merrill and I tied for second. And that was the year that No, sorry, I didn't make the shoot-off at Lancaster that year. That was the one year I didn't. So,
Gotcha. Then now you have made the shoot-off for the Lancaster Classic a couple times.
yeah, I made it twice out of the three
Twice.
times that I did it.
Gotcha. Now,
Yeah.
how does that, I mean, that's gotta just make your nerves as hard as steel.
Yeah. So, the first time, like going into it, I didn't really have anything to lose. So I just, I shot my first round. I shot a 131 or 130 in my, because I qualified fourth because my qualification score wasn't great. And it just carried over. And Ethan Merrill and I found ourselves in a 3 hour shoot off at the end. We both shot, I want to say it was 130s or 129s. So it was great. And then the second year, I had a great run, but I had to shoot against my best friend the first round in the shoot off, Holt Albertson.
Oh yeah, sure.
And it was really hard. That's probably the most nervous I've ever been in my life to shoot a bow.
Really?
So
I see
yeah.
now I am not up there. I'm not at that level, but I would think if you're shooting against your best friend that that would make it kind of easier.
Yeah, I would think so as well, but it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
No kidding. How about
Yeah.
that?
So, because, I wanted him to do well and then I wanted myself to do well. And it was just, I shouldn't say it was tearing me apart, but
Right.
that's probably the best way to describe it. But we had a lot of fun. And yeah, it was definitely a memory for sure. Seeing him,
So what are your best finishes at the Classic?
I got 3rd tiers.
Third 2 years, okay.
Yep.
And that's in the junior compound.
Yeah, the youth category, yeah. Yep.
So what do you think? Do you prefer the indoor 18 meters, outdoor 50 meters? What's Tyler Heritage's game right now if you had to pick one?
Yeah, I'm gonna be completely honest. Indoors is definitely my favorite. It's the thing that I seem to do better at. I love outdoors, don't get me wrong. It's tons of fun, just being outside with, all your friends. But yeah, indoors has a special spot in my heart. That's for sure.
How about that? It's funny because a lot of times, especially it seems like the 3D archers, I hear them say, "Oh man, indoor, that's such a drag, standing there just shooting 8, 20 yards over and over and over." But you
Yeah.
like it.
Oh, I love it. I mean, the reason why is, if I make a mistake, it's solely because I made a mistake, if that makes sense. And for me, I could always narrow that down so I minimize my mistakes. And I don't know, that's just how I always thought about it. I could always control what was happening. Whereas, outdoor 50 meters and, 3D, you can't control what the weather's like. You just gotta make do with what you have. And I never really, I mean, I enjoy it, but compare the indoors.
Yeah. So being 18 and going through high school, at your high school there, are there many or even any, serious target archers?
I think we had 3 archers from like local Joe Ed teams. One was no, two of them were from Newcastle, 100 archers. Yeah, and then I was from Lancaster. So yeah, we were actually one was in my grade, and then the other was 2 grades below. So, but I had gym class with them. So
Gotcha.
yeah.
Did you guys ever have archery in gym class?
No, I wish we did. I'd really like that, but yeah, no, our school didn't really view it the same way we did. They thought it was unsafe, but
Yeah.
even
They used to have it when I was in high school. Archery, everybody had archery, so I just always, but I was not into target archery back then. I just thought it would be interesting. Here comes Tyler Heritage, winner of NEEM, shooting with one of those gym class bows.
Yeah, no, I that would be so cool, but unfortunately, no, we did not have archery in gym class.
So
Because
what is
yeah,
it
I would.
at Rowan, the college you're going to go to, do they have an archery team?
Yeah, it's just a club sport. I actually saw one of the people, well, one of our own students that shoot archery. That's part of the club at the Summer Sizzle last weekend when I
Oh,
shot
okay.
the score. Yeah, I didn't get to speak to him, but I just, saw the jersey. So I was going over to speak, just, talk about it, but I just never got around to it.
So you're going to study chemical engineering, but what's your plan, your ultimate plan for archery as part of your future?
Yeah, so don't tell my mom I said this, but archery is my number one priority.
We won't tell her.
Okay, but, over the past few years, I found like a work ethic, so I'm going to make it work. I'm going to be the best that I can be at school, and I'm going to be the best I can be at archery. I'm going to compartmentalize, the different things in my life. So when I'm doing schoolwork, I'm doing schoolwork. And then when I'm shooting archery, I'm going to just be solely focusing on archery. So, yeah.
Well,
so,
you got a great role model there at UltraView with Colby Hanley. I mean, talk about somebody who made the balance. There he is.
Yeah, honestly, he is one of the people that has had like the most influence in my life. Just like from him leading by his examples, it has pushed me to be a better person for sure.
Well, and the thing that always amazes me about Colby too is he's like a personable guy. He's fun to be around. He's just a nice guy.
Yeah, he's literally the best. He always has time for a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Love that. So you're going to make the archery thing work. In that, then, are you envisioning World Cups? Is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, I should probably have a better idea about like what I want to do exactly. That would definitely be awesome. I just really haven't sat down and like wrote out some goals.
Gotcha.
I guess this is just like all hitting me at once that like I'm in this position. Because, growing up, this is exactly where I wanted to be when I was this age, like shooting as a pro. If you told me 3 years ago that I'd be doing this, I would say you're crazy. I guess I just need to sit down and really figure things out. I'm going to do it. It's just, a matter of when. I guess, with all the USATs being postponed and canceled,
right,
kind of pushed that off. But I'm going to get around to doing that very soon.
You'll be at Outdoor Nationals, I take it, coming up in Virginia in August?
I should be. As we're the second, we have a family vacation plan. Well, we had one, but the Canadian-U.S. border is still closed. So I might have an opportunity to go to that one. I'd really like to go, but just have to figure out the logistics of getting there and stuff like that. But I'll figure it out.
Will you be shooting any more ASAs? There's two left this season.
Yes, I am going to be going to Coleman.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I just need to register. But yes, I have my travel plans set in stone for that. So, yeah.
And so, go ahead. So,
I'm sorry. Oh, no. I'll let you continue.
I was going to say, obviously you know the path and you know what's involved for 50 meters and for indoors, and you have access to that. So 3D, obviously one of the things is getting to know the targets. Do you foresee, either buying some of the ASA targets or finding more ranges around you that have them to get used to them? What are you thinking as far as future ASA preparation?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually took initiative and started finding local clubs with ASA targets. I found one that was 36 minutes from my house that has a money shoot every Thursday night.
So, oh, perfect.
Yeah, so the past two Thursdays, I've been going down to shoot those. So the scores over the past 2 weeks, the first one was, nothing to be, super proud of. But the second one I was really happy with. I shot 110 and 18, and the rest were, it was a half a round. So I shot the rest 12. So,
hey, that's 18 12s out of 20. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was only half rounds of 10 targets.
Oh, 10 targets. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking 40 as a full round. Right. Yes.
Oh, No, it's all good. So, yeah. But, I'll let you continue.
So, yeah, so that's obviously a unique feature of the ASA that, as I'm sure you discovered, that the people who know where, how to look at, you know, the Black Panther and know where to aim on that. I mean, that's an acquired skill. You can't just, there's not just something to look at like that gold ring.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So until Jesse told me that the 12 ring, the upper 12 is oriented towards the head of the animal, I had no idea where the upper 12 was in relationship to the lower 12 when I was just standing there on the stake, not looking through my binoculars. So that was an important lesson, you know, where, you know, the 12s are oriented.
He's the one who told me that too. I didn't know that before. Okay. At some point, and he was the one who told me as well.
Yeah, like something that simple. Like I probably would never have known if it wasn't for him. But I definitely want to invest in some targets. I think if I do, I'm going to get the ones from the ASA after the weekend's over. They sell. So yeah. Yeah, but I definitely want to invest in a few targets just to have at the house where I mean the practice. Get familiar with. I'll probably just do like the harder targets, like the black targets, and the smaller targets like the turkey.
That stupid Wolverine, man! I hate that target.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually like that target. Isn't the one with the there's a brown on top that marks the upper 12?
Yeah, I should say for your eyes, you can probably see all that. I can't.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I don't know. I still think it was pretty cool, that video that you did with Jesse choking that lower 12. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you get lucky. I told Jesse it was all skill, but believe me, it wasn't.
I don't know about that.
Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we hadn't talked about yet?
Like I said, this has always been a dream of mine, to shoot professional. And whether your definition of being a pro archer is, spending, the $400, $500 to get in or actually winning something, right now I'm at, the point where I'm paying to get into the pro class. I'm paying off. I just started a job at a local sports shop to, pay for my registration. But like I said, I want to not fail my way to success, but I want to learn from not making the shoot offs so I can get better and hopefully one day, make it up there.
Yeah, for sure. So after a weekend of shooting ASAs, I mean, what do you think looking at a guy like Justin Hanna, who shot, I think it was like 40 or 42 up for the weekend? He won the London ASA. I mean, how impressive is that to you, having shot the same course that he did?
Yeah, no, I look up to him. That's all I can, I can really say. I know how he's doing it, but I really just look up to him. It's just insane what he did. There's no words to describe.
Especially in that darkness.
Oh yeah. I mean, I only saw a handful of 12 rings the entire weekend.
Yeah.
So out of the 40 targets, I only saw 5 12 rings. So the rest, I was just guessing where the rings were. I think he's doing the same thing. It's just, from experience, he knows exactly where it is on the target. So he can just aim there. So
that's exactly what it was. I actually asked him, on the second day, I said, are you seeing these rings or you just know where to aim? He said, no, I can't see anything. He said, I just know where it is in relation to, different parts of the body. But he said, he could not see the rings either. So it was just knowing the target.
Yeah, so I think it'll come with time if I continue with 3D. But yeah, I guess my next goal after, I figure things out is to get up and get on the shoot off.
All right, Tyler. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time today, and we wish you the best of luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. We thank you for your time today. You can find our podcast on all your favorite platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Don't forget to go back through our library. There's lots of great content there. Thanks for joining us today.